Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bibles on the clock here on All Access Football Radio. Today, we are putting the Kansas City Chiefs on the clock with the 21st pick in the first round of the 2011 draft. Kansas City is coming off a 10-6 season in which they finished first in the AFC West and made the playoffs the first time since first time in a couple of years. Sorry, let me look that up. I did not thought I had that in front of me. Look at me. The first time since 2006, but you'd have to go even further back for their last playoff victory. That would be 1993. The last time they won a playoff game, it was in Houston, and the team they were playing were the Oilers, not the Texans. So that'll tell you how long ago it's been since the Chiefs have actually won a playoff game. I believe it's 6 straight playoff losses. But let's not dwell on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. And we're talking about a team that had won 10 games, just 10 games in 3 years, from 2007 until 2009. That included 2 4-win seasons as well as a 2-win season, but bounced back to win 10 games alone in 2010 under Coach Haley on their way to an AFC West crown, a division most people had ceded to the San Diego Superchargers before the season even began. But KC was one of the surprise playoff teams in Todd Haley's second season. He is back, as is Scott Pioli and defensive coordinator Romeo Crennel, who made a big difference for the Chiefs. We're going in a new direction on the OC side with Charlie Weiss headed back to the college game, and taking his place will be O-line coach Bill Muir. So it's his first year as the offensive coordinator there in Kansas City, but third year with the Chiefs overall. He's been there since Haley got there. Now, overall, basically last season, they made their living. They got to 10 wins. Some may say a little bit with smoke and mirrors, but it was basically the running game. And I'm really curious, you know, I ended the Tampa Bay show by asking Roy Cummings, is this team going to be better in 2011 or worse when we're talking about the Tampa Bay Bucs, another team that surprised everyone to 10 wins? And I'm very curious about the Chiefs. That's the question I want to answer. Are they going to be better in 2011, or are they going to take a step back? Because I'll be honest, you know, I like some of the talent on this team. I like the direction the roster is heading in. But heading into the playoffs, I couldn't help but think this is a little bit of a Fugazi playoff team. And I think that's the kind of performance they gave at home against the Baltimore Ravens, where they basically didn't look good in any aspect of the game, whether it was, you know, throwing interceptions, couldn't get the running game going, couldn't do anything defensively. So I think, you know, they kind of look like a Fugazi playoff team the way they played against the Baltimore Ravens. To me, that type of team is an easy pick to say, hey, they're going to take a step back. They're going to miss the playoffs again. They're going to go back to where they're supposed to be. They're going to go back to that midline. So they're that team in the NFL where they want, you know, 20 to 25 teams to be 8-8 type teams, and then a couple will be 10-6, a couple will be 6-10. They just happen to have the 10-6 last year. Will that even out? Now, the key to their success was their running game, number one in the NFL in rushing. You know, had a very deep backfield there with, you know, a bunch of different players contributing, including, you know, bringing over a veteran like a Thomas Jones. He was obviously a key cog. And then, you know, coming through was one of their better picks the last couple of years. Jamaal Charles had a really big season for the Chiefs and performed, you know, extremely well running the football, put up a lot of big numbers for KC. And, you know, that's basically where they made hay offensively. You know, Charles rushed for almost 1,500 yards. Jones fell short of 900 yards by only 4. So they came close to having 2,000-yard rushers. The duo combined for nearly, you know, 2,400 yards between the two of them. So very impressive numbers from that 1-2 punch. You know, throwing McCluster, who's, you know, a running back slash wide receiver slash kick return guy as another potential change of pace dynamic weapon. But after that, offensively, you know, there's still, you know, leaves a lot to be desired in terms of what they can do moving the ball offensively and putting up points. They were kind of middle of the pack there, 12th in total offense, 14th in scoring, and the big reason was to offset that number one rushing attack was the number 30 passing attack. And today's NFL, you know, that's not going to win you in the playoffs. I mean, people love to still focus on running the football, but folks, you need to throw to win. I'm sorry. You don't need to run to win. You need to throw to win. And Kansas City did never prove last year that they can throw to win the football. You know, Castle, to some respects, had a good season in terms of his touchdowns to interception ratio, 27-7, nearly 4-1. You're happy with that. But you want to see more in terms of big plays. You know, you want to see a higher completion percentage, or at least one of the two. Give me something. Give me one of the two. If you're going to be that big play guy, fine. Maybe I can live with that completion percentage. But if you're not going to be a high-volume thrower who throws, you know, down the field often and makes a lot of big plays and makes teams pay, then, hey, you got to be a high completion percentage. I want to see that floating up to, like, 65%, and he was only at 58%. Part of the reason, obviously, is somewhat of a lack of weapons at the wide receiver position. You know, not a lot of ton of guys putting up big numbers in terms of the wide receivers. Outside of Dwayne Bowe, who caught 72 balls, had 15 touchdowns. Hey, he had a great year and put himself back into the boom category in terms of his value as a draft pick. You know, started off strong and had a couple shaky years, but really came through last year and stepped up big time, playing like a legitimate number one receiver. But after that, they're really searching for a number two option. You know, their next options weren't receivers. They were Jamaal Charles coming out of the backfield where, hey, he did a heck of a job averaging 10 yards a grab on 45 receptions. Tony Moyaki, excellent pick, great mid-round pick. Had a nice year for them, 47 receptions from tight end position. So that was a big boost to their passing attack. But you're going to need more than, what, 22 catches that they got out of Chris Chambers as your number two guy? That's not going to cut it. That's not going to be good enough. So that's definitely something, you know, that I'd expect them to look for in the draft. And surprisingly, even though sacks went down and the running game was the top in the league, you'd think, hey, they must have, you know, the best offensive line or one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Part of that is guys getting a little bit older. So that offensive line is another position that could be in flux as we head into the 2011 season for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. We are on the clock here talking Kansas City Chiefs football. They own the 21st overall pick in the 2011 NFL Draft. You know, every Thursday we're here at 6:30 talking Kansas City, talking on the clocks. NFL teams breaking down a different team every day, and today is Kansas City. We got 20 in the belt heading in today. Joining us today will be Adam Teicher from the Kansas City Star. He breaks down the Chiefs on a regular basis for the locals there in KC, and he'll be joining us today to kind of give us some insight, allowing us to pick his brain a little bit on the Chiefs and, you know, teach us a little more. Now, defensively, you know, pretty similar. You know, the only aspect last year that they were really strong at was running the football. The only aspect last year they were poor at was throwing the football. The overall offense and scoring offense was kind of middle of the ground there in that middle third. Same with the defensive rankings. You know, 14th overall, 11th in scoring, kind of in that middle third of the NFL. Defensive, the pass defense was 17th, rush defense was 14th, so kind of in that middle of the pack of the NFL. All categories where you got to wonder, I love the saying, I'm going to go to it again, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. It's got to be one or the other. You got to take, you either taking a step forward or you're taking a step back. And what are they going to do on this team? Are they going to take a step forward in those positions, or are they going to take a step back? Are they going to be a better run defense next year? Well, if they are, they got to plug that nose tackle position, because Ray Edwards is getting a year older and he may not even be around to man that nose tackle position for KC. Glenn Dorsey picked it up a little bit last year for the Chiefs. You know, he looked like he was on his way to being a surefire bust category for the Chiefs in terms of his production. But he stepped it up in his third season. And while he's not the impact player, the pass rusher, a lot of people thought he could be from a defensive tackle position when he was drafted. Still, 69 tackles, fourth on the team, led the defensive line. So there's definitely some progress. You know, obviously in Kansas City, they're hoping he can build on that. They're hoping, you know, they can get more out of Tyson Jackson, another high pick. These are two, very high picks that the Kansas City Chiefs used to address the defensive line. Back-to-back years, top five. Glenn Dorsey went fifth overall in 2008. Tyson Jackson went third overall in 2009. Are those guys going to play at that elite level? I don't know. I don't see either one developing into really a Pro Bowl-type player. I don't see them, you know, developing into like a Richard Seymour type, which you'd love to have in a 3-4 defense. But, you know, can they be productive enough to man those positions and do what they need to do along that defensive line? Maybe they'll get better. Maybe they'll get better if they address the nose tackle position and improve there. There's some age on the linebacker spot as well, so I could see them going in either linebacker position. And, you know, maybe adding a safety to complement Eric Berry wouldn't be a bad idea either, but he turned out to be a phenomenal pick last season out of the University of Tennessee. And we have our guest ready on the line now. Adam Teicher from the Kansas City Star is joining us. Adam, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Appreciate you giving us some time. And Adam, let me start here. Can you give us a little bit of the state of the Chiefs, the feel of the Kansas City faithful? You know, this is a team that wasn't really expected to make the playoffs, won only 10 games in 3 years, but last year found a way to win 10 games, make the playoffs, but at the same time, another playoff loss, another one and done, I believe six straight times now. So what was the feeling in Kansas City? Was it more of euphoria of a somewhat overachieving season, or was it kind of another letdown?
Well, I think it was, I guess, a little of both. I mean, you know, I think there's some understanding that she's played what I think was the easiest schedule in the league, and you know, they took advantage of it, you know, took advantage of a division that was not real strong last year. So I think there's some understanding, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, ominous signs to what happened to the Chiefs last year. I mean, they, you know, they were 2-4 in the division, and, you know, the way they finished it with two really bad losses at home, one against the Raiders to end the regular season and one against Baltimore to, you know, in the playoffs, you know, there's enough, you know, storm clouds there that people, I think, realize this job's not done yet. I mean, they've still got a ways to go. So, you know, the Chiefs have some things to get done before they're, you know, one of the league's better teams for sure.
And one of those ways you get things done and you take that next step is the off season and that whole process, particularly with a young team with so many key guys being young players, like is the case in Kansas City. And, you know, this is something I think you wrote about, you know, the impact of the lockout. I believe Monday you wrote would have been the day where that off season program begins. Can you talk a little bit about that impact and how that could curtail his progress?
Well, you know, something all 32 teams will go are going through. So it's not like it's just bad for the Chiefs, but you know they do have a lot of younger players, and you know teams in that situation, those are the ones I think are going to you know feel the lockout the most, particularly if there's no off-season practice or anything like that. I mean, you know, Eric Berry, you know, had a nice rookie season, but he's got a ways to go, and they had a number of rookies who played for him last year. They really didn't have a full off season because obviously they were drafted last year, got in late. So, you know, this would have been a full off season where the Chiefs could have worked with them, but looks like it's not going to be that if they get to work with them at all during the off season. So, you know, it is going to impact the Chiefs, maybe not as much as some other teams that have new head coaches, that kind of thing, but it'll definitely impact them, no doubt about it.
Now, you know, the offensive line, something else, you know, I've been checking out your stuff there on the Kansas City website. People can read Adam's work, even if you're not a local, at kansascity.com. Check out the Red Zone blog, great stuff there. And, Adam, you know, you wrote a little bit about the offensive line, and even though they were number one in rushing last year, even though they seemed to do a better job in terms of protecting the quarterback, sacks were down, there could, you know, the offensive line could look different in 2011. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it could be. I mean, you know, Brandon Albert's played 3 years in the NFL now, and he just hasn't established himself as you know, a really reliable left tackle. I mean, you know, he's just still up and down, still inconsistent, and you know, he's got ability, but he hasn't gotten it done. You know, at some point, you think the Chiefs are going to move on here. They'll either move him to guard or move him to right tackle possibly. But, you know, I think, you know, what they do there will be determined on what their opportunities are in the draft. I mean, if there's a left tackle there that they like and they feel maybe the best player on the board, I think the Chiefs would make that move in the first round, perhaps even in the second round if there's a guy there that they really like. You know, this seems to be a draft that's going to be maybe not in potential superstars, maybe not deep at tackle, but deep in guys who are going to be good, solid players for a lot of years in the NFL. And that's, you know, that's the kind of guy that Scott Pioli likes. He likes guys who are, you know, who, you know, projecting a good, solid, long-term solution. So, you know, that's a definitely a position to look at for the Chiefs. But, you know, they got some age at other spots. You know, Casey Wigman's going to be, I think, 38 in, I think it's July, their starting center. Brian Waters is getting up there. He's 33 or 34. So, you know, they've got some age there. They got a young guy on the bench named John Asamoah, who they drafted last year. I know the Chiefs like him. I expect he's going to be starting soon, and I can't quantify soon, but maybe as soon as next season. So, you know, the Chiefs have some it looked like there's going to be some change, maybe headed for some change on that offensive line.
Yeah, great kid, John Asamoah. I got a chance to meet him last year, and he's a fantastic kid, easy kid to root for. And you're right in terms of that offensive tackle position. This year's draft doesn't have that a bunch of those top 10, top 5 guys, but they have a lot of the mid to late first-round tackles, which is exactly where Kansas City's picking. Now, on the other side of the ball, defensive line, that's somewhere where they have taken a couple of guys in the top 5, and I'm talking about the LSU boys, Dorsey and Tyson Jackson. Talk a little bit about their development, and do you think those guys are going to be the long-term solution there? I know Dorsey, you know, flashed a little more last year than he had in his first 2 years.
Yeah, Dorsey turned into a pretty good player, and I think the Chiefs are pretty happy with what they got out of him last year. You know, maybe not worth the fifth pick in the draft, but, you know, certainly, you know, a reliable, dependable player who got a lot of, you know, positive things done. So I think they're feeling better about that pick. Now, Tyson Jackson, again, did not get a whole lot done last year. Better than his rookie year, probably, but still not a whole lot of production there. And, you know, I don't sense the Chiefs are ready to give up on him yet. I think that's probably a wise choice, because sometimes it takes those defensive linemen some time to mature and become the players you think they're going to become. But, you know, it would not surprise me in a draft that's real deep in defensive linemen. You know, if the Chiefs think that they're, you know, at 21, they're the best player available is a defensive lineman, it would not surprise me at all to see him go that route and throw another big body into that you know, playing rotation. So, you know, that's definitely a position I would look for with the Chiefs in the first round, no doubt.
And interesting, you know, a guy like a Muhammad Wilkerson, there's a bunch of guys like that who fit that 3-4 mold. But Kansas City kind of mixes it up a little bit, right, more than people think. And I believe, you know, that's something you've written about as well, in terms of if they, let's say they go for the outside linebacker, they would definitely look for somebody who can play some 4-3 end with their hand on the ground as well. Is that right?
Yeah, they do some different things. I mean, they'll mix it up quite a bit. But, you know, their base is that 3-4, particularly on non-passing downs, on you know, you're in their base defense. They're more of a 3-4 than certainly than they are 4-3. So, you know, but, hey, you know, I'm looking at a guy like Cameron Jordan at Cal. I mean, that's another interesting guy. You mentioned Muhammad Wilkerson, and that's an interesting guy for the Chiefs. And but what if, you know, Jordan falls to him? So that's another guy you might want to keep your eye on.
Yeah, there's so many of them. I feel like, you know, there's all these guys that we project to go in the top 15. One or two of those guys may slip and may be too tempting for Kansas City not to take. But having said that, looking at the roster, it seems to me that maybe nose tackle might be a bigger need. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but do you need to get a nose tackle in the first round? You know, there may be some guys who can get some stuff done for you who are available later in the draft. There's the kid from, you know, from Ole Miss, the kid from Baylor. I mean, I don't know when those guys are going to go, but, you know, it's possible you could get them in a later round. But, you know, hey, if the Chiefs feel that's a big enough need, you know, they might end up going that way in the first round. I guess I'd be a little surprised.
And we're talking to Adam Teicher from the Kansas City Star. You can also read his work on kansascity.com. Red Zone blog covers the Chiefs from top to bottom. Adam, let me ask you, if they don't go defense, and we talked a little bit about offensive tackle, where else could they go in terms of a need in the first or second round?
Well, you know, otherwise, you know, pass rusher, certainly, maybe an outside linebacker. You know, I don't know that Alden Smith is necessarily fits what they do, but, you know, I do think that that's a guy they'd have to look at if he fell to 21 just because of his pass rush ability. You know, maybe Akeem Ayers or Justin Houston of Georgia maybe, you know, would be a guy they'd look at. You know, another position of need is wide receiver. But, you know, after Julio Jones and A.J. Green, are there any really is there anybody going to be there of value at 21 as far as a wide receiver? Probably not. So I think the Chiefs will end up getting a receiver in the second round or maybe one of the other later rounds, but it's hard to see them go a wide receiver in the first round given you know, where that position is with the depth.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. When you look at that spot at wide receiver, you called it. I mean, there's A.J. Green, there's Julio Jones, and there's probably not another guy there that warrants a first-round pick, certainly not 21st overall. But, you know, looking at the production from last year, I think they definitely need to address that number two to complement Dwayne Bowe out there.
No doubt about it. They've got to get somebody in and help them out. I mean, you know, the defense has really concentrated the last toward the last three, four games, taking Dwayne Bowe out of the game, and it really showed in the Chiefs' offense. They were able to do that. The Chiefs had nowhere else to go. I mean, it's telling what they thought about their wide receiver group that for the playoff game, they went out and signed Kevin Curtis off the street, you know, a 33-year-old guy, and he started for him. You know, that tells you where the Chiefs are on at wide receiver. They're really desperate for a guy to complement Bowe, and they've got to get somebody in here who can play. You know, they gambled a little bit last year with Dexter McCluster, and he was kind of a disappointment. You know, I know he missed five or six games with an ankle injury, but even before that, he just wasn't having an impact they thought he would as a slot receiver. That's not to say, you know, they're giving up on him or that he won't have any kind of impact going forward. I think he, you know, he has that ability certainly, and it's way too early to give up on him. But, you know, rather than address the wide receiver issue last year with a traditional wide receiver, they thought they'd go with McCluster and do it as a slot guy, and it didn't really happen for him next year. And I just don't think that's a guy they can count on. Hey, if it happens, it happens, and, you know, that's a good thing for them, but you just can't count on it with McCluster.
Yeah, it's interesting, Adam, with McCluster. He's a guy I liked a lot coming out of school, and everybody wants to make him a wide receiver, but and Ole Miss tried to make him a wide receiver, but his best production was always as a running back.
Yeah, and, you know, as the season went on, the Chiefs used him a little more as a running back. But even no matter what you do with him, I mean, the guy is, you know, 180 pounds, 5, you know, whatever he is, 5'8". You can't use him a whole lot. And, they like to use him as a kick returner for good reason. And, you know, that wears him down a little bit. So I just don't know you can get a whole lot of snaps out of Dexter McCluster. I think the Chiefs kind of overdid it with him last year a little bit, and maybe that was part of the problem. But they need to figure out how they're going to use him and be maybe a little more judicious about how they hand out his snaps.
Now, Adam, it's been a pretty quiet off season there in Kansas City. Basically, the only move was franchising Tamba Ali. And I know, obviously, with the whole labor issues, it's curtailed a lot of the movement. But still, most teams have re-signed a couple guys, maybe signed a guy here, released a guy there. Are you surprised at all, or was this kind of expected, the lack of movement in this offseason?
No, this is expected. I mean, they also tendered a handful of guys. Now, whether that's going to hold up when the lockout is over, when they come to some kind of labor agreement, I don't know. But at least they made some attempt to protect some of their better younger players, like Brandon Carr, their cornerback, Wallace Gilberry, their pass rusher, Barry Richardson, who ended up starting for him at right tackle. So they tendered some of those guys to hedge their bets a little bit, I guess you might say, in case the it holds up after the lockout. But, you know, here's the thing that's overlooked with the Chiefs and re-signing players at the end of the season. They re-signed four guys during the season, you know, guys who would have been up this year, Derek Johnson and Jamal Charles being two of them, and then two lesser players, but still guys they liked. So, you know, the Chiefs didn't ignore the issue. I mean, they were pretty aggressive about it during the season. And, So they, you know, they got some of that work done before other teams were able to.
All right, Adam, before we let you go, I got one more for you. And the big question to me is, you know, I felt they kind of overachieved last year. As you mentioned, kind of the easy schedule. They found a way to get to 10 wins, but struggled within the division. You know, moving forward next year, do you think this is going to be a better team or a worse team in 2011?
Well, I think it'll, you know, it's hard to say with a lockout. You know, it's too, you know, the player acquisition part of the year with the draft and, or is there going to be free agency or not? It's hard to project a little bit because you just don't know who they're going to be able to get. You know, I'll know a little more if and, you know, after the draft and if and when there's free agency. But I think there's a good chance the Chiefs will be a better team next year with a worse record. I mean, I think that's a distinct possibility. I think that, you know, they won 10 games last year against a pretty weak schedule, and maybe they'll win 8 or 9 this year and against a tougher schedule. I think that would be maybe a better accomplishment when you look what they were able to get done. And I think they beat, if I remember right, they ended up beating one playoff team, and it was
Seattle, right?
It was, it was the team that won the division. So a team with a losing record. So unless I'm forgetting somebody, you know, that's pretty unimpressive work right there. And, you know, this year they're going to play, you know, at Indianapolis. They got Pittsburgh at home. They got New England at New England. They got the Jets in New York. So I mean, and then they got the division they play is the NFC North. So they got Green Bay and Chicago, and Detroit's going to be better. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a tougher schedule, and it's tough to see them right now get 10 wins with that schedule. But hey, you never know. I mean, if they can, you know, find a way to pick up some players in the draft, and you know, Matt Castle progresses, then you never know. It might, they might be able to get there again.
It's funny, Adam. I had Roy Cummings on from the Tampa Tribune yesterday asking the same question because I think Tampa and Kansas City are similar type teams. They gave me the same exact answer. I think they're going to be a little bit better, but their record might be worse. Adam, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, man.
All right, and that is Adam Teicher from the Kansas City Star. He's the main man there covering the Kansas City Chiefs. And as I said, you know, like myself, if you're not from Kansas City and you want to check up the Chiefs and see what's going on, go to kansascity.com, Red Zone blog. And it's funny, I was wondering if he's going to give me the same answer, and basically he did. You know, they're going to be better next year, but they're not going to win as many games. You know, it's, you know, I get the question from Bill Parcells, you know, either you're getting better or you're getting worse. He's also a guy that says you are what your record says it is. So in his mind, if you go from 10-6 to 8-8, you definitely didn't get better. But I get what the guys are saying in terms of, you know, the development, the big picture development and getting from point A to point C. You know what I mean? It's not just a constant ebb and flow of going upwards, you know, evenly throughout the process. But if you're going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, you know what I mean? You know, not necessarily every year you're going to get one win better, one win better, one win better. Sometimes you do take a step back to some extent to take a step forward. But, you know, definitely some young talent here. I think the schedule is going to be tougher, as Adam brought up, significantly tougher. They did only beat one playoff team. That was Seattle, a team that had a losing record. So it's almost as if they didn't beat any playoff teams on their way to 10 wins. That's not going to happen again. They're not going to surprise anybody early on in the schedule. San Diego probably isn't going to give them any games with the awful special teams. You know, but they're a team that does have some intriguing pieces. And like any team, you know, the draft is big. You make a couple of big selections, you know, like Green Bay did, and you grab, B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews, and bang, suddenly, you know, you're taking that next step. So, Scott Pioli, you are definitely on the clock. You know, it's up to him to kind of make that happen, and it's up to some of these coaches. You know, Romeo Crennel obviously seemed to have a positive impact, a positive influence last season on Glenn Dorsey. Can another year under his belt working with Tyson Jackson, can that make a difference? Obviously, the nose tackle position, I think it's key. See, it's interesting here, you know, and even it seems like it, you know, talking to Adam kind of confirmed it. You know, the positions they need to fit the most are nose tackle and wide receiver, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a fit. As much as I like Phil Taylor, 21, listen, I'm not going to rip him if they take him there, could be a little bit of a reach. My guess is going to be there'll be a better football player there available at 21. Now, you're taking a risk because nose tackles do not grow on trees, and often you say, I'll get one later, but you know what? There ain't going to be there one later. There's not many guys available that can do that, you know, do that position, and there's definitely more teams that need a nose tackle than there are nose tackles available in the draft. But if they don't go nose tackle, their second probably most important need is wide receiver. Definitely not going to be a wide receiver warranting going at 21. You got, you know, A.J. Green, surefire top 10, likely top 5 pick. You got Julio Jones, up another potential top 10 pick, had a really strong offseason, ran very well at the combine. After that, you're talking about guys like Torrey Smith, Jonathan Baldwin, Leonard Hankerson, Randall Cobb. You know, I like a lot of these guys. Not worthy of going 21 overall. There's going to be better players there. So Kansas City is going to probably be in a position where they can take the best available football player, whether that be an offensive lineman. You know, does an Anthony Costanzo, a Nate Solder drop down to them? Do they like a Gabe Kareemi? Do they like a Derek Sherrard? You know, they could go at either the linebacker position. You know, he brought up an Alvin Smith, a Justin Houston. That type of player is going to be there. Does a Ryan Kerrigan slip to them? Does one of the D linemen slip to them? You know, whether it's a Wilkerson or Cameron Hayward or Jordan. They could go, you know, inside linebacker. I don't know if I'd go Martez Wilson. You know, center, there probably won't be a center there, safety. So it's looking mostly like an offensive tackle or an outside linebacker slash DN, which would really be, you know, a statement on in terms of what they think about Tyson Jackson. But that seems to be the positions they're going to go to, because nose tackle, unless it's Phil Taylor, he's the only guy wanting a first-round pick. Wide receiver, the two guys are going to be gone by the time the Chiefs select. Other positions, you know, even inside linebacker, Martez Wilson, that's too high. At center, the only interior lineman going in round one, in my opinion, is going to be Pouncey. And, you know, right now he's looking more like a guard. And, you know, the amount of balls he snapped into the dirt last year leads me to believe that he's more likely to be a guard than a center at the next level, not like his brother. And safety, I think, like I said, they could use somebody to play next to Eric Berry. Raheem Moore, best safety, we like him. Probably not going 21 overall either. So, you know, Kansas City definitely has some interesting decisions to make there. They're going to have to fill in several of their key needs later in the draft, or maybe have to wait to free agency. You know, they have the 55th overall pick in the second round. Their third round pick is number 86. They also have one in the fourth, two in the fifth, no sixth round pick, and one in the seventh. So they do have seven picks. Rather than having a sixth rounder, they have two fifth rounders. I'm your host, Daniel Mobiona. This was Kansas City Chiefs On the Clock with the 21st overall pick. Don't forget to check out all our On the Clock shows. We do them every week, Monday through Thursday. We got four more coming up that next week. We had four great shows earlier this week. A lot of good stuff in terms of our On the Clocks. You know, earlier this week we had on Monday, we were talking to Kevin Acey, talking about the San Diego Superchargers. On Tuesday, it was Terrell Thomas, as well as Howard Cross breaking down the Giants with Beau Marchand. Yesterday, Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune came on with me to talk Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. And next week on Monday, we'll be talking Indianapolis Colts, followed by the Eagles on Tuesday, New Orleans Saints on Wednesday, and the Seattle Seahawks finishing up next week with the 25th pick next Thursday. And that'll bring us through 25 teams on the clocks. I'm your host, Daniel Mogollon. Hope to hear you again when we do On the Clock on Monday. It'll be Joe Everett breaking down the Indianapolis Colts at 6:30.